Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Do you fear this man invention that they call atomic power? Are we all in great confusion? Do we know the time or hour? When a terrible explosion may rain down upon our land, leaving horrible destruction, blooding out the works of man.
Are you ready for that great atomic power? Will you rise and meet your Savior in the air? Will you shout or will you cry when the fire rains from on high? Are you ready for that great atomic power?
There is one way to escape it. Be prepared to meet the Lord. Give your heart and soul to Jesus. He will be your shield and sword. He will surely stand beside you, and you'll never taste of death, for your soul will fly to safety and eternal peace and rest.
Are you ready for that great atomic power? Will you rise and meet your Savior in the air? Will you shout or will you cry when the fire rains from on high? Are you ready for that great atomic power?
There's an army who can conquer all the enemy's great men. It's the regiment of Christians guided by the Savior's hand. When the mushroom of destruction falls in all its fury great, God will surely save his children from that awful, awful fate.
Are you ready for that great atomic power? Will you rise and meet your Savior in the air? Will you shout or will you cry when the fire rains from on high? Are you ready for that great atomic power? Are you ready for that great atomic power?
I have been teaching on the subject, the ministry of reconciliation. We, the children of God, who have become a new creation in Christ Jesus, have been given the commission to reconcile the world unto God. It is our job to bring the lost into the kingdom, and not only to bring the lost into the kingdom, but to be reconciled to one another. We, the Christians, throughout the last 2,000 years, have drifted apart. In many cases, the church has even become an enemy one with another. As we will get closer to the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ, God is going to bring the church back into a unified body. So for a head start, let's study scriptures on how the church is to be unified and how the church is to operate to bring the lost into the kingdom of God. Many denominations have their own rules, laws, and regulations. Many denominations even have their own dress codes. We need to understand that these things will not matter in the end. They will be irrelevant. At the judgment seat of Christ, a dress code will simply burn off into dust and ashes. We have to understand that a person who takes on these outward forms of so-called godliness is nothing but into idolatry. In most cases, and I understand religions, dress codes are forms of idolatry. They're not there for modesty. They're there to make a statement that we are the ones that God has chosen. That is the pride in most people's hearts who are and are having dress codes. So be careful when it comes to those things. I once told a friend of mine, a head covering to you is the same as Mary is to a Catholic. You cannot pray without a head covering, just like a Catholic cannot pray except through Mary. So we need to look at these things, whether we are in bondage or not, because we are fast closing in on the Lord coming back. And if we are not ready for him, if we are into idolatry, we may miss the call when the Lord Jesus Christ calls us unto himself. So today I will preach on the ministry of reconciliation. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts so that they can understand. I thank you for the grace of God. I thank you for the word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Growing up in a religious system, I heard people talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, there are times when they would teach on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the problem was the Lord Jesus Christ was buried in the debris of the religion that I was in. The dress codes, the laws, the rules, the regulations were far more important and far often more preached on than the cross of Calvary. The cross of Calvary never was preached on in clarity. It was read out of a book. The preacher just basically stumbled over the whole message. And what they would really emphasize would be the laws, the rules, and the system. So I want to warn Christians here who are in organizations like that. The second generation, that means your children, will be focused more on your dress code and on your rules and regulation than on the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's how it works. So you need to be careful how you approach the cross of Calvary. If the cross of Calvary is not the most important thing in your religion, then you are already into idolatry. In Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 12, the Bible tells us, he gives some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, made by the tricks of men, which cunningly with cleverness they lie in wait to deceive. Many of the religions today have detoured away from the Word of God, from the cross of Calvary, and have brought unto themselves teachings that are doctrines of men. Men who have brought in ideas with cleverness. Yes, Satan is behind all of that. It is to nullify the Word of God ever so slightly. All you need is a little start. And then a generation or two down the road, the cross is buried in the debris of man-made ideas. So we need to stick to the Word of God. We need to refresh it and bring it out. This is why I always teach, dig yourself out from the debris of your religion and study the Word of God and bring the doctrines of Christ back into reality. The Bible teaches us that He has given us apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers for what? To edify the saints, to bring them into a unity, or that so that we can go and preach the Word of God to the nations. If we're going to preach our denomination, then we're not going to be very effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know for a fact this is what a lot of religious organizations are doing. They claim they are preaching Christ, but at the bottom of these preachings are the denominations. I will give you an example of what I mean. In our local town here, there was a religious organization that had tent meetings. And in the first 5 or 6 weeks, it went on quite a while, those tent meetings were crowded. There were many people that came to hear the gospel being preached. I was there a few times, and the gospel was preached in a very clear manner. And this thing went on for quite a while, and I was rejoicing in that. And one day I saw a sign by the tent, and the sign read, "They are now going to teach church doctrine." And I said to my wife, "You will see within a week or two, this tent will be here no more." And that is exactly what happened. They put aside the preaching of the gospel and started to teach the commandments and doctrines of their church. And this is the problem with most of us churches. We want people to think like we think. We want people to talk like we talk. We have to understand that we are a very diverse people. We have been given the choice to be free thinkers. And once we start to corral people into thinking the way we think, we will lose them. So the question is asked, what do we do once a person comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Which church do we take them to? I always have this answer. Study the Word of God by yourself for a year before you join any church. Make sure you understand the basics. And what is the basics of the Word of God? The basics is simply the plan of salvation and then the commission that He has given us. And what is the commission? To go into all the world and preach the gospel. And then you got to go according to the formula that God has given you, not by some church rule and some church regulation. You take the formula off the Bible. And what is the formula? It tells us, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16 is very clear. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And here is what's supposed to happen to those who go out and preach the gospel. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils? They shall speak with new tongues. If they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's the principles and church doctrines we should be teaching the new believer. Not some regulation and rule that our forefathers have handed us down, but a regulation and rule from Scripture. You don't have to explain it to them. You just tell them, read it. The instructions are there, and then go do it. Because the Bible teaches us in verse 20 that the apostles did exactly that. It says, and they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming their word with signs following. How easy can it get? But today we have somehow taught around that subject. We have somehow used the wisdom of men to bury this subject far beneath the surface. And we, the children of God, need to bring it out. The Bible teaches us that the child of God needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, when you become a Christian, you get a down payment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides in your spirit then. But the Bible teaches us that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it tells us, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Anybody who is familiar with alcohol will know exactly what this is talking about. If you drink a bottle of beer, the effects will last for a while, but they will wear off. So you have to drink another one. This is where alcoholism comes from. People like that effect so much that they keep drinking and drinking, and a lot of times even become totally broke because they spend all their money on alcohol or drugs. But when it comes to the Spirit, it works in exactly the same way. You have to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Because after a while, when you get into the workplace, it'll start to wear off. And then you have to spend some time with God again and be filled again with the Spirit. This is why I like prayer meetings. You get together to pray, you pray for one another, and after a while you become high in the Spirit, and then you can rejoice in the Lord for quite a while. But then after a while it'll wear off, and you have to get back together with fellow believers or by yourself. So there needs to be a constant filling of the Holy Spirit till you become addicted to it and don't want to be without it. That's when you really start to enjoy your Christian life. So this is how it works. We need to operate in the power of the Holy Ghost, but we need to be taught how to do it. And Scripture is easy to understand if you will take the time to study it for yourself. So put aside the debris of your religion. Put aside these rules, laws, and regulations. And start studying the Word of God. And get to know the power of the Holy Spirit. And you will become an incredible powerhouse for God. The Lord will open your heart to these truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
I guess we should pity the man in this world who must use the earth for a bed. And I guess we should pity the man who must toil from dawn till dusk for his bread. But these can be rich if they have contentment, sharing God's salvation plan. But if you know any who, though they have plenty, are lost, then pity the man.
Pity the man who has treasures to hold and owns not the pearl of great price.
There are those who pity the Savior as though we were missing life's bread. Oh dear, forgetting that treasures of earth pass away, in heaven is the place to invest. There meanwhile esteeming the man who to hold all the wealth that it can. And if while he's living to God, he's not giving his soul, then pity the man.
Pity the man who has treasures to hold and owns not the pearl of great price. Pity the man, though he lives long on earth, yet he knows not the giver of life. Doctor, a lawyer, traveler, a merchant, a builder who builds on the sand. Pauper or king to be saved is the thing.
In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, there is an interesting scripture that reads like this. He that says he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. What is this scripture teaching us here? It is telling us that we who say we abide in the Lord Jesus Christ need to walk as he walked. That is so interesting when we look at how churches interpret this question or this scripture today. Today they would interpret it like this. You don't go to the bar, you don't smoke, you don't drink, you don't watch pornography, you simply live a modest lifestyle. Well, this is not really what this scripture teaches. We should live a modest lifestyle regardless. But what this scripture means here is we need to walk and operate like he operated. We can find a lot of proof in scripture that this is exactly what that means. In John chapter 14, verse 12, it tells us, "Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." In other words, what the Lord Jesus Christ told us is this, that you will be here in my stead, and you will do what I did. In Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the scripture teaches us this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recover to the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." That's the commission that God has given us. We need to walk like he walked. We need to use the formula that he used. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated the gifts of the Spirit while he was here on earth. To demonstrate on how to use the gifts of the Spirit works like this. When we watch somebody on TV in a commercial, they are advertising a product, and then they will demonstrate on how to use it. They will show us how to use it. So when we buy it, we will be able to use it like they did. And this is exactly what Jesus did. He demonstrated the gift of the Spirit, and he told us, "You will do what I did." But we have to remember, we got to use his formula. The Bible teaches us that Jesus cast out devils. He healed the sick, and he caused the blind to see. He multiplied food. He talked to the weather, and the weather quietened down. And I want to emphasize this one. In the next few years, we better learn how to speak to the weather, because it's becoming worse and worse. Oh yes, when I tell people to start speaking to the weather, I do feel like a fool. But then I have been a fool for Christ's sake most of my life. And speaking to the weather is scriptural. It has been done by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has been done by the apostles. So that means we can also do it. I know for a fact, in my experience, I have had quite a few experiences when it came to these things, casting out devils. I have seen them leaving people. I have prayed for the sick, and they have been healed. And I have prayed against severe weather, where the forecast would forecast. It is a certain fearful weather, and we have prayed against it, and I've seen that weather detour. Is it a coincidence? Maybe. But according to scripture, when we pray, the Bible teaches us we will do things as Jesus did, and even greater things. So we need to preach and practice these things regardless what people think of us. And once we start walking out by faith, the Lord will start moving through us. So study these things. Jesus is about to come back. Let's start walking the walk that Jesus walked. The Lord will open your heart to these truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.